Welcome to Executing the Vision podcast. I'm your host, Brad Hunter, president of Emerge Labs. On the podcast, we'll get to know the person behind the vision, their successes, their challenges, and their plans for the future. If you're interested in becoming a guest or know someone who might be a good fit, stick around to the end and we'll discuss how to apply. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Executing the Vision. Today, we are talking with Chris Prefontaine with Smart Real Estate. And now, is it Smart Real Estate or Wicked Smart? I see on the shirt there.
Smart Real Estate Coach. Yeah, the company name is, in fact, Wicked Smart, but it's Smart Real Estate Coach.
Okay, well, Smart Real Estate Coach. Chris, I saw what it is you do and was just very interested personally to learn a lot more about it. It seems like an awesome space. I've personally been invested in real estate in all sorts of different ways, shapes, and forms over the years. Obviously, it's a wonderful thing to be invested in. So really wanted to talk to you and hear your story and also really understand what it is that you do. So let's just start about just learning more about you as a person and hearing your story. Where'd you grow up? We're Wicked Smart. We got to be somewhere around Boston.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. I grew up in Massachusetts, actually, and I grew up in a family company that was not real estate. It was a welding supply business. That's what I grew up in around in, literally from, 8 years old, sweeping the floors all the way up to driving trucks for my dad. So that's how I was in the entrepreneurial world, but not in real estate.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. I grew up in a similar situation around farming.
Ah.
Yeah.
That was strengthen a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay. So then from there, growing up, then walk me through what are some of the next steps in life?
Yeah. So I said it wasn't real estate, but what my dad did, and when I was old enough to half get it, I didn't understand it. But what he did was he built brick and mortar buildings. And then he leased them back to himself. And when I was a young kid, I remember being like 10 or 12. I'm like, well, I don't get it. You're the same person. But then I understood his company and leased it back personally and all that. So I was around that growing up. And then he would network with people that would also have conventional businesses, not in real estate, but they all dabbled in real estate. I saw that. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So I always wanted to be in some shape, form, or fashion, be in real estate. So yes, I went to college for business, but I was always reading like back before Trump was a politician. So this isn't about politics. He wrote that first book, The Out of the Deal. I remember reading that in the 80s. Like I was just really enthralled by real estate in general.
Okay. And then so when did you actually get into real estate?
Well, I'm going to date myself here, but it was 91. My dad's company sold in 91, the welding company that I mentioned. And I got fired they said I was going to stay. I got fired about a month later. So here I am with a one-year-old and a two-year-old, and they say, you have a month severance, bye-bye. So that's what got me into real estate.
And you started as a real estate agent?
No, actually, because I was around what I saw him doing, like land, he'd engineer raw land and flip it and things like that. My very first deal was a piece of land on a golf course that I did with a partner that had an existing house, but that could be subdivided. So we subdivided it and we built a duplex, which could be condoized. So we ended up with two units brand new and we still ended up with the rental for next to nothing. That was the first deal I ever did.
Okay. So you started on the real estate development side of things.
Yep. And then some building, we used to do what I call spot lots. So you go through a neighborhood and you might see a lot sitting there by itself. I'd knock on the door or I'd send a note, pick up these lots that people really weren't like desperate to sell and but said, yeah, I'll consider it. And we would put a house up. We'd pre-market a package, finished package, like finished house, everything with a builder friend of mine. And so they saw the end price, the buyer did. And then I would say to the owner, you're going to get your money at the end. And I would say to all the subcontractors, you're going to get your money at the end. And I was naive enough in my 20s to do that. And they all went with it because the market in the early 90s was. So we were doing creative real estate before we knew what creative real estate was. So we built homes for a while doing that till 95-ish. 95, I bought a realty executives franchise. So back to your other question, I put my broker hat on then, learned how to do that, and then sold to Coldwell Banker in 2000 as a broker. So that was okay. Done with that chapter, move on. I started working my own investments and that led up to the crash of 08. The crash of 08 was where everything that we do today was because of the crash of 08. It was the financial beating we took. It was signing personal loans that we don't do anymore. It was literally all those lessons is how and why we're doing what we do today.
Okay. Because, yeah. So I'll give you my little soiree in real estate, if you will. So in the early 2000s, I was doing quite well and had some extra money and trying to figure out what to do with. And then it seemed like real estate was going to be the way to go. So went around looking at different areas in the country of what are these hot markets I should be getting involved in. And got a couple properties in Phoenix, got one in Tampa, got one in Austin. And very much, this was probably 2006-ish. Things were on fire. I was very much, okay, I'm going to put 20% down. I'm going to get 30-year fixed loans and do this the right way. Not try to like minimum down these floating arms and blah, blah, blah. So I felt, okay, I'm going into this thing, doing it the right way. And then of course, lo and behold, 8, 9, 10, everything just totally crashed. And not only the value of the homes crashed, but then also the rents I was getting. It went from having like positive cash flow every month. As soon as the lease would expire, the renewal lease was, one of them was like 30% less. And yeah. So suddenly I'm standing there looking at this portfolio of how many years can I stand to bleed to death here? And then I dumped everything and got out. And so had some pretty serious scarring from that thing of coming into this thinking, hey, I'm doing this the right way. Things couldn't possibly go wrong. And then, of course, they did. And then so ever since then, I've definitely been a little like intimidated by the idea of, gosh, things are going up. Oh, they're going to come back down. They're going to come back down. But then now I don't know what they are. Now, the way that I look at the real estate market is that now, back in that time, it seemed to me like you had so many individuals getting involved, right? Now you have these huge funds that are buying up so many of the houses that to me, it seems like that idea of a crash, I don't know, seems highly unlikely because it's what percentage of inventory out there now is owned by the Black Rocks and the Vanguards and whatever. And those guys aren't worried about some sort of cash squeeze. Right? So yeah, I guess talk to me about where you see the market at right now. Cause you know, everybody in this space, I've got a bunch of friends that are realtors and in the space, right? There's always that like talk, well, what's going to, is there going to be a crash? The price have been going crazy. There's no way. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so there's so many different things. First of all, I don't know, right? The billionaires don't know. So whoever
says it,
but my thinking process is this. There's a couple of things in no particular order. Creative real estate, there's one constant about real estate in general. It changes all the time, right? So once you know how to pivot in creative, you don't care what the market's doing. So I just want to preface what I'm going to say with that. Like I really, my wife will go, what do you think when the rates went down? What do you think when they went up? How's it going? I said, I don't care. The more times it changes or is uncertain, that's when the market needs us in the creative real estate world. So that's why I, whatever happens is okay by me. Now, what do I think, to your point, is going to happen? If you look at Tony Robbins' third book in his trio of financial books, talks a lot about this. But if you look at trends in general, out of the 8 or 9 recessions we had, once prices retreated, the Great Recession. So if you, in general, nationally. Secondly, you have this, the media screaming right now, crazy, like it's going to be the same crash. The statistics are so different from 08, not even remotely the same. In 08, there was a glut of homes in the market. Builders went nuts. Right now, there's historically low inventory out in the marketplace. And again, I'm talking general now because he was talking national, not.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the interest rates, everybody says they're high. But you and I both know they're not high. They're higher than some of the young people have seen. But we're at about a 50-year average right now on our interest rate, if it's in the sevens right now. So I think the market is going to be somewhat flat leading up to the election because you have too many what-ifs right now going on. And again, I don't care because of creative real estate. Like an example, you gave an extreme example of your portfolio, right? But if you had bought those without personally signing on a bank loan, you would have had a different conversation with the note holder than a bank had with you if you were defaulting. Because I had a bunch of those. I was hammered during the crash. And I was on every note personally. That gave me zero leverage. The bank came, you pay, or they foreclose, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Different conversation when a seller doesn't want their house back and you need to renegotiate because you're not on it personally. That's just one tiny little micro piece of when we buy creatively.
So I can talk to me about your strategy and kind of what your whole program is about.
Yeah. So I say we a lot. So we have myself, my son, Nick, it's a family company where we buy homes locally here in Rhode Island, Mass, Connecticut, and we buy those without banks, without putting gobs of money down. We buy them all owner financing, lease purchase, or subject to the existing financing. So we're never signing personally. That took off in 2014 with great demand to teach it. That's what's where Smart Real Estate Coach came from. Just organically came about. A gentleman attending the War College here in the island, Newport, said, I heard about you. I'm going back to civilian life. I want to learn this. And from that point in 2014, we grew to what we are now as a Inc. 5000 fastest growing companies the last 3 years in a row, because we then go teach other students how to do what I just said that we do, but we do the deals with them, Brad. It's a big difference. Like, we don't market things and go, here you go, here's a course, good luck. That's what most people do. And there's a great marketers online right now doing that. And you see the fancy cars and all the fancy stuff, but they're not showing you how to do the deal in the trenches. And that's what we do with our students. We actually rev share and are in the deal with them. It's a win, and it's the best way to interactively learn. So that's what we do.
Okay. And so then this, obviously, this is nationwide. Doesn't matter where you live. You guys happen to do it in that area, but you work with people all over the whole country. And then what type of people are you typically working with? Who are the, is it real estate professionals? Is it just like any random person?
Mostly. Okay. So I'll tell you generically, just for the time we'll have on the show, we speak with people that realtors would speak with and that other investors would speak with. We speak with expired listings. They didn't sell conventionally. For sale by owner, for rent by owner. And then if a particular student doesn't have enough lead flow in that batch of three, which they usually would in their immediate area, we will add things like a niche list, like free and clear. Free and clear homeowners in the United States right now went in the last decade from 33% to 39% of the homes in the United States are free and clear. 39%. That's a great pool to fish in. And we buy those with no bank. We buy them by making payments to the owner, seller financing. And 99% of them, Brad, are done with no interest, principal only payments. If you had bought a few of those houses, you said during before the crash, and they were principal only, your principal would have been hammered down by the time the prices get hit, right? If you buy the way I just said, and you buy long enough, 10 years, 7 years, my building 20-year terms I had on it, then you don't care what the market does, especially if you have a longer term and principal only payments. There's a cool recipe there. And we have trademarked our three payday system because over the years, when I just gave you that quick history of 33 years in the business, I was used to the transactional thing. A lot of realtors listening, the transactional. I did a lot of homes as a realtor, but it was every January, I got to set the clock again. I got to go do that again. Our three payday system allows you to get that now money, but then monthly money and then long-term money. So it's pretty cool. It's a good business model for anyone who happens to work great with property.
Okay. All right. So I get the idea of the properties that you're going after in general. When those properties are acquired, Is it long-term rental, short-term rental, varies by the use once they're acquired?
Good question. I'm going to give you the answer that we teach, because if I teach a bunch of shiny objects, the Wicked Smart community be like, what do I do? But you can buy like we're buying any asset class and you can exit anyway. So let me preface it with that. But what we do primarily teach at the basic level is rent to own exits. Now, rent to own with renters that maybe will buy someday and their credit's on it. No, rent to own with buyers that truly deserve to be a buyer. They have a down payment. They're just not financeable yet. They left their job during COVID. They started a new business during COVID. They had a divorce during COVID. Anything that caused them to not be financeable right away, or they're self-employed in a new business. So we deal with them and we give them the time to get mortgage ready. So we have about a 2 to 10% default rate. People out in the marketplace right now, you and I could pull up a podcast and find them. They teach, do a rent to own and just put anyone you want in that house. And then if they don't default, you just do it again. That doesn't set the buyers up to win. We set them up to win.
Yeah. Okay. And then talk to me. And then the people that are coming and learning your methodology, what's that pool typically look like?
Okay. A lot of W-2 people looking to exit. And they make great, strong five, but mostly in the six-figure income range. We've taught many of them how to exit that within a couple of years, usually takes, if it's a strong income. We have a lot of investors now in this marketplace and a lot of realtors in this marketplace that are going, whoa, this is changing a lot. I need to tack on creative real estate to what the heck I'm doing here. That's a big demand more than ever right now in my entire career, because wholesaling, the audience may or may not know, is getting shut down in a lot of states, and some people predict it to be shut down almost everywhere unless you're licensed. Creative real estate's been a big demand recently. You got the HGTV shows that are really clamping down your profits when you're doing flips and things like that. You got a gazillion wholesalers. That's all transactional stuff, and it's also tightening the margins. Our average deal, Brad, to give you a sense, is a low of $45,000 all three paydays to a high of $350,000. That's our community. As a whole, our family business is like 75, But those aren't small deals. That's over the term, but those are big profits. So that was a long answer to say W-2, entrepreneurs looking for franchises and other investors looking to tack this on because it's a cool strategy.
Okay. And then what is that process? So I'm somebody that's interested. I'm listening to this. I'm like, this guy seems to know exactly what he's talking about. I like this idea. What does that look like for somebody to come in and get involved? Obviously, they're going to go to your website and see, but what's time frames of I enroll in this and all that stuff?
I'm big on free. So we'll make sure, please remind me to give all your listeners a book. There's so many free resources we have. I want them to go there first. So they go, all right, I can get behind this niche morally, ethically, business-wise, financially, if they get past that. I saw YouTube. We have like 400 deals on YouTube. Like, just go watch them. You see how we do deals. It's all exposed. If they like it and they like what we do, okay, the next step is just go through the online platform. It's an online resource center. I won't call it a course because once you go through it, you're going to have that for life and do deals and pull the forms and the agreements and the checklists. So it is our online course. It's home study. That's going to be their kind of foray into it. Then they can say, hey, I got this. I'll go do deals on my own. I'll maybe come to your events once a year. Or I want to fast forward this, get more aggressive, help me leave my job. And that way they'll come into what we call the associate program. And that's when we do deals with them. But that's, of course, not required. It's up to them.
Okay. And then talk to me about the future then. How long have you been doing this program? The way you're doing it right now.
2013, right after I was stuck in my brain mentally from the crash from 08 to 12. Like February of 08, I can tell you where I was to February of 12. And then I started doing creative and then we started having huge demand. And we still, like today, spoke to myself. And then I'm on the phone with sellers all day for students.
Yeah, I imagine this last 10 years had to just be gangbusters. Okay, so from where you're at today right now, what's the next 5 years look like?
Yeah, we're on a mission. Our missions go. We're on a three now, and we started it this year, so 24, 25, 26. And that mission involves a few things, Brad. We're big on, you asked it, or you insinuated earlier about how long it takes to get rolling and things. We are huge on, in our internal meetings, hey, how tight can we get? How quickly can we get what we call TTFD, time to first deal? Because if you're a new student and I can tighten that time frame, you have success. You're not going anywhere. But with the next 3 year mission, we're working on time to first deal, time to first sold, metrics that'll help students have success and stay. The Inc. 5000 stuff, and all, that's all a result of our care about the students, not our goal, right? So that's the big thing. Second is we're doing deals now with students that aren't even in the associate program because we might get a call, say, from someone like you, and you're doing a deal out, and it doesn't matter. You're in California. You say, hey, I got a deal in California, Chris. I'm not in your associate program. I'm not going to be. I have my own lane I run in. But I got this deal, and I think it'd be a good creative one. We're starting new deals with students all over the country like that now. Just started, and that's a big opportunity over the next few years. Because so many people would email us going, hey, I don't want to be in your program, but can we just do a deal together? And so we can do that now.
Okay, great. And then any other, what about the world of commercial real estate?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you?
Yeah. You can buy any asset class and people do with owner financing and subject to existing financing. I bought my building in 2018. I structured a 20-year owner financing deal, pictured not going through commercial underwriting. That's good. And then I ended up selling it in 18 and he had passed away, but I had the note for another, whatever that was, 14 more years. I just decided to sell it because things were good. But picture this. So I don't forget to say this. Picture buying buildings or homes right now with rates of 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% that were left over from when the rates were low, because that's what subject to existing financing means. And that's what we do. Literally, we got a deal referred to us yesterday for 2.6% interest rate. If I want to buy that subject to the existing loan, I will never go on it personally. The past seller will be on that loan, but I'll have a 2.6% interest rate. That's cool when interest rates are 6 and 7.
And now on the, so from an operational perspective, do you have systems in place to help the students that are rolling, or is it more of here's a general methodology to use, or do you have actual built systems in place to help them operationalize this?
Yeah, this is good. All systems. So we have white labeled some systems where when they CRM, for example, so they put a lead in and all our workflows that we've labored over the last 10, 13 years, buyer side and seller side, they're all built in. So you get them, you own them. Websites already set up for you, done for you videos so that your sellers go and they see the video of the right answer for Q&A. Those are all done. All stuff that when I started, I literally had to create as I went.
Yeah. Cool. That's huge, obviously. It's one thing to get this general blueprint and then have somebody have to figure out all those systems to piece to put together. When you have all that stuff done for them and it's just like, hand them the ball and go. Dual, that's great. Yeah. What other things would you like to share? To me, everything you've said has been pretty spot on and very impressive. What other items have we missed that you feel are important to share?
Just, I'll be like 10,000 foot view general instead of micro, because some of that got micro. If you're listening and you, it doesn't have to be creative. There's a lot of great niches in real estate, but if it's something that you resonate with, I'm not so naive to think I'm the only one. There's some good people in the space, right? So three-step formula, real simple. One, pick the niche that you think you want to run with. And that means not just financially, because that gets old, but you get behind it because you like helping people or whatever the case may be. We have a win when we do our deals. It really is. Two, find someone in the space that's already done what you want to do. And lifestyle and other. Brad, you and I both met people that had success but wrecked their lifestyle or lost their spouse or relationship with their kids because they did it too aggressively or didn't balance their life. So find that person you can relate with and you can respect, and they've already done what you want to do. And third, put the blinders on for 3 years. Because as I alluded to earlier, real estate's way too distracting if you try to chase all the shiny objects, and you'll feel like you're drilling wells and never hitting water. So pick one. Do your due diligence, like I said. We'll give you a free book to look at. Go look at YouTube. If it's what you want to do and you want to run with us, then put the blinders on for 3 years. You will have a great experience. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm saying you'll have a great experience if you just stick with something for 3 years. Do you want me to give that link? I'll give the link to the book.
Yeah. In fact, I just ordered the book right before we started this. I have a link, but you can tell everybody right now and then we'll include it as well.
Great. And you're getting a package. So if you bought it, you can gift that to someone else because we send it to all the hosts. That's wickedsmartbooks.com/Brad and the numeric number 1, just so we know it came from your tribe. They will get a free book. Now, it's not the offer where you go in, Brad, and it says free offer for book, and then you got to pay for shipping. We're going to ship it from this office, and it's free when you're going to get the hard copy.
All right. Perfect. Great, Chris. It's been amazing talking to you. Thank you so much for your time here today. I think what you have going is an amazing thing, and I certainly am going to get the word out to different people that I know that seem it would be a good fit for them.
I appreciate it. Appreciate being on.
All right, cool. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for listening to Executing the Vision. If you'd like to be a guest, go to emergelabs.us and click on the podcast page. If you like what you heard, please share the episode and subscribe. Ratings and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. You can find us on Instagram at brad.emergelabs, as well as X, Facebook, and LinkedIn, where we strive to provide valuable information on business and life. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the show and what you'd like to see in future episodes. Thank you again, and have a great day.